we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
If you will, turn with me this morning to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 50. While you're turning there, I'll share with you. Last week, I began talking about dreams and visions, and that there are two things that are detrimental to our health. In fact, the Bible says that they cause the people of God to perish. One is the lack of knowledge, and if you look at that, it's not the lack of not having access to the information, but instead having had the knowledge and rejecting that knowledge. Romans chapter 1 says it's very detrimental to us if we do not retain the knowledge of God that we've had. And folks, that reality from God's Word causes me to want to pray for America a great deal, because we have been a Christian nation. I don't care what the media tells you, we have been a Christian nation, and God wants us to continue to be a Christian nation, and we do not need to reject the knowledge of God. The second thing that it says is that without a vision, the people perish. It means that they cast off restraint. They just do whatever they want, and the reality is God has a plan for this world. He has a timeline. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And you and I, we need that. How many of you ever struggle with keeping focus? I went up here to tell somebody something, and something happened, and all of a sudden I couldn't remember what I was going to tell the other person. I know I'm not the only one that suffers. I was making fun of myself the other day on Facebook. A couple Wednesday nights ago, I was given the prayer invitation at the end, and I lost track of where I was, and somebody said, well, that's a senior moment, and somebody, one of my pastor friends said, that's not just a senior moment, that's a senior pastor moment, you know, and so sometimes we lose focus, but when we have a vision from God, when we have the dream that God has planted inside of us, a dream is different from a vision. A vision is not just seeing, is seeing what God wants to do. A dream says, God has given me that dream, and so I have a responsibility to that. In the Hebrew, it talks about the person that the dream has been given to and the dream are bound together. How many of you know that there is a third element to that bonding, and it is not just the dream and the recipient of the dream, but it is also a bond with the person being God who gave you the dream. Amen. I am glad. It is not up to my power. It's not up to my strength, my wisdom, to make that dream a reality. It is in the power, the timing, and the purpose of God. And last week I'd shared that there are three things that can be dream killers. One is people who do not have a dream. They're living a nightmare. They have no hope. They're just going through the motions day in and day out. They don't see that they'll ever arise to much. I want you to know that God wants to make you more than you ever dreamed possible. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above everything that you can ask or think or imagine. If we could get the grasp on that He wants to make us more than we've ever been. The second threat or second dream killer that I shared was people who used to have a dream, but they've stopped dreaming, and now they're just going through the motions as well. And I talked about how Jacob had been that person. But in the end, when Joseph had come to Egypt, Jacob started dreaming again. And if you have had a dream, but you have stopped pursuing that dream, if you've given up hope on that dream, I've got good news for you today. The third threat was Potiphar's wife was a lady who was interested in living a fantasy. It talks about a person who pursues a fantasy. They lack knowledge. But the person who works their land will have an abundance of food. It also said that in the scripture that if we chase fantasies, that we will have our fill of poverty. I don't want to chase a fantasy. I want to pursue the dream that God has given. Now, how many of you found Genesis chapter 50? I'm going to begin reading in verse number 15. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. The title of the message I want to share with you this morning is The Saving of Many Lives. The Saving of Many Lives. Father, thank you for this time that we have. You are a good God. I want to thank you, God, that you order our steps. You direct our path. We do not walk in darkness. We walk an illuminated path. Our steps are lighted by the King of Kings and by the Lord of Lords. Thank you for the dreams that you give us. Thank you for the vision that burns in our heart. Lord, I pray today that you will rejuvenate, revive, and resurrect the dreams that you have birthed in your people. And God, that we will see many lives saved. The purpose of the dream you've given us is that many would be saved. And we rejoice in our Savior now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A few weeks ago, God specifically dealt with me about this particular aspect of Joseph's life and the dream that he had given him. And it was not an easy path. When God gives you a dream, there can be some challenges and obstacles because the devil does not want you fulfilling the dream God has for you. He doesn't want me fulfilling the dream that God has for me. But can you say thank you, Jesus, this morning, that every weapon formed against you shall not prosper, that with God all things are possible. Amen? And so this morning I want to share with you a few principles that will help you from the journey from receiving the dream to the fulfillment of that dream. The first thing is that you, in every step of that process, from the beginning to the fulfillment, need to continue to recognize the sovereignty of God. Here, the brothers were asking Joseph, please forgive us our sins. Remember, last week I shared with you, it was their intent not only to kill him, but to kill the dream. They said, let's see what will become of his dream now. I want you to know that the devil intends not only to try and prevent you from fulfilling the dream, but until that dream is fulfilled, he wants to mock you every step of the way. His purpose is to get you discouraged, to get you to doubt that the one who birthed that vision in you will bring it to completion. But I have good news today. Jesus begins, he's the author of your faith, and he is the finisher, the perfecter of your faith. He does not leave projects half done. He completes them because it is for his glory and his praise. The purpose is that many lives would be saved. You have to continue to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. Say, well, look at what horrible thing happened to me. Recognize this, that just like Balaam testified, that God is able to turn a curse into a blessing. God is sovereign. He is more powerful than the enemy. It's not even close. I was a youth pastor for a lot of years. Some of the kids that were in my youth group are now in their 40s. It's a painful realization. And I remember at one of my youth groups, there was a 17-year-old, and we were out wrestling around. You see, I still think I'm invincible. A pastor shared with me a few weeks ago that their church softball team was playing, and one of their men had hit a double, and he was trying to stretch it into a triple. And after the play was over, the pastor went up to him and began to talk to him. He said, "What were you doing?" Because he had dove head first into third base. And he said, "Pastor, when I launched myself in the air, I felt like I was an 18-year-old man again." He said, "But when I landed and I tore my shoulder to shreds, I felt like the 67-year-old man that I am." How many of you still think of yourself of being able to accomplish, you know, some of the things you were able to do? My son was out there the other day, and he came by. He's 6'2", and we were horsing around, and I went to try and, you know, just play, you know, play like I was going to knee him. And I almost got it all the way up to his chin, and I was really proud of myself until I landed and my hip said, "Oh, no, you're not 18 anymore." I got good news for you. Your dream is not dependent upon your chronological age and the flexibility of your muscles. It is dependent upon the sovereign power of Almighty God. It does not matter what stumbling blocks the enemy has placed in your way. It means that God will take that stumbling block and make it a stepping stone and a launching pad. His dreams and purposes in your life, they will come to pass. Amen? Let me tell you, I'm not just sharing that in theory. Let me tell you what happened about Joseph, how he continued to recognize the sovereignty and the presence of God when Potiphar's wife was chasing her fantasy and she was trying to get him to come and sleep to her. He said, "I can't do that because I would be sinning against God." When the cupbearer was in jail and the baker was in jail and Joseph was there to interpret their dreams, Joseph's testimony was this: the interpretations of those dreams belong to the God who I serve. When he stood before Pharaoh to interpret Pharaoh's dreams and none of the wise men could answer, but the cupbearer finally remembered Joseph and they had him brought out of jail, Joseph testified to Pharaoh, "I'm here to tell you today, God is the one who gives the answers." When his brothers stood before him here in Genesis chapter 50, listen to what Joseph said. He said, "God sent me ahead of you to preserve you." Let me just do a little bit of ministry to banish fear from your life. God has already moved in tomorrow to make sure that everything is going to be okay. You and I, we can't fix ourselves on tomorrow. Today is the day. Jesus said, "Sufficient to the day is the trouble thereof," but he's the one who gave us this day, not for the trouble, but that we rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He also told his brothers that what they had intended as harm, God intended for good for the saving of many lives. Let me just tell you this. Your dream is not to make your life easier. I'm sorry. The dream that God births in you and births in me is for the salvation of souls. The reason I'm here is for the salvation of souls. I was excited about all of the people, but I'm rejoicing in the one who got saved yesterday. Yes. Amen? That is what the everything is all about, is the saving of many souls, not just a few. Thank God for the individuals. Aren't you glad that Jesus saved you and not just a whole bunch of other people? But thank God for the multitudes. And our goal is not for it just to be our make sure that our family gets saved, but that people from America get saved, that people from Brevard County get saved, that the people of your household get saved, but also that the people around the world get saved. The salvation of many lives. Joseph had a dream. And that dream had come to him when he was a young man. But the scripture says that he didn't stand before Pharaoh until he was 30. We talked about timing this morning in Sunday school. And I want to tell you, God is the one who is in control of the timing. Thank God. And his clock is never wrong. I remember a story when we were growing up, my dad's said that he used to go to work and everybody would measure what time their watches said. And he said, mine's always right. You know, that clock says it's one time back there. Your watch might say it's another time. We, at our house, we set our alarm clocks ahead so that we'll think that it's later than it is, so we can hurry up and get rolling of a morning. And my wife has them set in such a place that she has alarms going off wherever she's getting herself ready to go to work of a morning. She has alarms that'll go off, and they're set off ahead of time so that she will not be late for work. God is never, ever, ever late. There was a prophet that in the midst of economic hardship like Jerusalem had hardly ever seen before. I mean, it was horrible in the city. There were people who, there was no food, no water. They had been completely placed under siege. And the prophet came and said, tomorrow I tell you that there is going to be such an abundance of food in here that you could hardly make a profit off of it. It's going to be in abundance. And a man said, the timing of that is not possible until God showed up. Until God showed up. I encourage you this morning, don't get discouraged on how long it is taking. It will come to pass. I'm sure that there are a lot of us in here, and we've heard since a child, Jesus is going to part the eastern sky. The trumpet is going to sound. He's going to call us saints. And there are a lot of people that through those years, Tommy's looking out the window there, you know, I don't know if he's looking to say, now's a good time. I know, but I'm looking. If you weren't looking, I'll go look. Now's a good time. You ready? You ready? There are a lot of people who've gotten discouraged because it hadn't happened yet. But the Word of God promises God is not slack concerning His promises the way men count slackness. Amen. His timing is going to be perfect. It is perfect. So, what do you do in the midst of the dream, from the giving of the dream to the fulfillment? What do? You just sit around and twiddle your thumbs? Let me encourage you to do what Joseph did. Joseph grew in his relationship with God during that time. You say, how in the world do you get that? Well, let me put it to you this way. He had a dream when he was back in his father's house. People tried to kill the dream, sold him into slavery, shipped him off to Egypt. He goes and he becomes a very faithful servant in Potiphar's house, so much so that Potiphar did not even concern himself with any of the details going on in his house. Instead, he just said, see Joseph. See Joseph. And then he ended up in prison. And he had been in prison a while, and all of a sudden the cupbearer and the baker ended up in there with him. And you know what Joseph told them? The interpretations belong to God. I had a dream when I was a boy. And I didn't know what that dream meant back then, but I've learned something in the years since then. He would have been in his 20s at this point in time, and that is this. God interprets the dreams, not only gives the dreams. You tell me what your dream is, and God's going to give me the interpretation to give to you. You are not called to just sit around and twiddle your thumbs. I don't care how wise you are, how smart, how intelligent. I don't care how long you've walked with God, if it's been 1 minute or if it's been 100 years. I don't think anybody's walked with him quite that long in here. But it might seem like you've walked that. There's still more that you can grow. There's still more that you can learn. There is still time in his presence that he can cause you to thrive. You and I are not called to rest upon our laurels. We are called to grow in grace, to grow in our faith in him, to grow in trusting, to grow in our obedience to him. Grow in the grace of God. Grow in the grace of God. That's a scriptural phrase. That means to grow in God's favor. Wherever you're at, grow in God's favor. When the children of Israel were shipped off to Babylon in captivity, they went there, and there were some people, and they started singing this beautiful song. They said, "Oh, I just can't wait to get back home again. It's going to be so wonderful to get back to Jerusalem again." And Jeremiah in chapter 29, he sang them a different song. He said, "You better build houses. You increase there. Don't you decrease. God doesn't want you decreasing. He wants you increasing. Thrive there. Be a blessing to the people of Babylon." You and I are called to grow. No matter where you're at in your walk, I pray that you come out of this service today with a desire to grow in your walk with God. As I was preparing for this message, I was looking at a lot of things, and everybody is familiar with Martin Luther King's speech. What was the title of it? "I Have a Dream." Can I give you a perspective that's slightly different? God has a dream that he wants to have hold of you. He wants that dream to have hold of you. Not that you have it, that it has a hold of you. That you do not let it go. It will come to pass. God is in charge of the timing. The third point that I want to share with you is what I believe is the key to Joseph's dream being fulfilled. Turn back to Genesis chapter 40, verse number 1. "Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, 'Why are your faces so sad today?' 'We both had dreams,' they answered, 'but there is no one to interpret them.' Then Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams.' So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to them, 'In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand.' 'This is what it means,' Joseph said to him. 'The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison.'" How many of you know it's okay to want to be out of the prison? "For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is what it means, Joseph said. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh. I like the first dream better. Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday. He gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. This is what the word of that God spoke to me several weeks ago. The key to Joseph fulfilling the vision that God has given him in his life was contingent upon Joseph helping another person with the dream that God had given to him in his life. Do you know what it was that brought Joseph? I'm going to put it right in plain, simple language. You know what it was that brought Joseph into the presence of Pharaoh? He used the gifts that God had given him to help a man find a job. He was the cupbearer. Listen, the cupbearer in those days is not the guy. He's not the waiter or the waitress that brings you your food at the restaurant. Instead, the cupbearer was the most trusted servant in the kingdom. Because in those days, if they did not like who was sitting on the throne, they would poison them. They would try and kill them. That's the job that Nehemiah had. As a slave in a foreign kingdom, he was the king's cupbearer. You know what his responsibility was? Everything that was brought to the king, he got to taste it. The king would watch him. You know what he was watching for? For him to die. If he didn't die, I think it's good, king. And then the king say, okay, time to eat. Let's feast up, gang. And there was a cupbearer who had offended the king, ended up in jail, and God gave him a dream. And Joseph had to use the giftings of God to help that man with that day. You say, what is God? God has a dream for your life. He has a plan for your life. But the Word of God promises God is not slack concerning his promises the way men count slackness. Amen. His time.
We will see you here tomorrow at Refresh. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. and I so long to sing you the song you deserve.